Morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When I came in and I got this poster here, I had to smile because I've had like 3 or 4 of these shoeboxes when I was younger. So thank you for doing that. And then we went right into celebrating our veterans, and it's just really touching to see what everyone can do when we come together and unite for a purpose, and that purpose is people and each other. And with that, in that spirit, I'm just reaching out today. People in my country have really been affected by Hurricane Melissa. It was a Category 5 storm, something that we've never seen, unprecedented in our history. Myself having a bit of survivor's guilt because I wasn't there to help in any way that I can. I don't know if I could, but this is my way of trying to help. In the presentation behind me, there should be some QR codes that are vetted. This is Global Empowerment. They're based out of Florida. They're a vetted outreach program that they'll try their best to help out in terms of sending clothes, money, whatever it is. People are really, really, really suffering. And there's a second one up there that goes directly to the government of Jamaica that will also help with funding and getting back on the ground. The United States of America has been very big in helping to get us back together. You guys have contributed field, hospitals, medicine. There are just planes coming in day after day, and I'd really like to say thank you for what you've done so far, but my people really need help. Just the last thing, when I was putting together this presentation, there was a suggestion from ChatGPT to, you know, put pictures up there of the destruction and all of that, but when I close my eyes and I think about my country, I don't see destruction. I see resilient people who love and believe in God, and we are going to come back, and we're going to come back stronger, and thank you guys for having me today.
Thank you to the praise band for leading us in that wonderful time of worship, reminding us of the living hope we have in Jesus Christ through His death, burial, and resurrection for our sins. As we come to today, one of our Mission Sundays, we have 4 of these a year, and I'd like to share a little bit here from Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. It says, "And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" Amen. What a wonderful passage. And that's the end of the story. That's Revelation. We see what happens in the end, that God is glorified. The Lamb who was slain, who ransomed people from every tribe, language, nation, and tongue, He's going to get all the glory, all the praise. And until that time, we are to be about the task of the Great Commission, going and making disciples of all the nations. So this morning, as we have one of our 4 missionary mission Sundays, we have the opportunity to hear from the Drakes and from Holly Friesen. And so it's a reminder for us today, whether you're in Togo or Ukraine or Princeton, West Virginia, Mercer County in our region, we have a task, and that task is to go and to make disciples. And so this morning we're reminded of that responsibility that each and every one of us have. It's not just for missionaries. It is a task given to every follower of Jesus Christ. We've been reminded of the gospel as we've studied Romans. Now we're to go and we're to proclaim that gospel to our neighbors here and to people all around the world. So this morning we have the opportunity to have Adam and Faith Drake with us. They've been on the field there for 14 years serving in Togo, and I think we've supported them pretty much most of that time. They've been involved in a lot of different ministries in the last 14 years in Mongo, Togo. They've helped with the hospital ministry, radio ministry, church planning, leadership training through Savannah Bible Institute. They started a Christian school with 460 kids from pre-K to 7th grade, and many of those students coming from Muslim families. Faith has been able to learn how to do some dental hygienist type things, dental hygiene, and has been getting the rest of her degree for when they go back to continue to have that open door to doing ministry there. Adam has built many great relationships with people, even within the government, and you'll hear a lot more about that. But their oldest daughter, Ocean, is at Liberty. Celeste is a junior in high school. August is in the 7th grade, and Nico is in the 5th grade. Their family is a joy to be around. I know you'll be blessed as they share what the Lord has done. At this time, we're going to play a video, and then they're going to come and share with us.
Hi, I'm Adam Drake, and this is my wife, Faith. And we have four kids.
Yep, Ocean, Celeste, August, and Nico. And we have been in Togo since 2011. So August was even born here.
And we serve as church plant missionaries, but we have been doing radio ministry and then focusing also on Bible Institute training our leaders, our future leaders for Togo.
Yeah, we've also been really involved in a local Christian school that we helped build and get started, and I get to teach English there. And it's been a huge blessing to see the kids growing just in education-wise, but also in the knowledge of God. So many of them have never heard stories from the Bible. They come from Muslim families, and it's just an amazing opportunity to reach them in a way that a lot of ministries can't.
And really our role is to kind of bring the community together and to present the gospel to them. And so all the different ministries that we focus in on really help us accomplish that, to give us a platform to had a chance one day or another to share the gospel with them.
Even taking weird opportunities like talking to them about the gospel while I clean their teeth. It's just really unique opportunities that we don't get elsewhere.
So we encourage you to follow us over these next few years as God is moving us on to this new ministry. Keep in touch with us, connect with us, maybe even meet up with us if you can. We'll be available to you through our email and our phone number, and we'll share at the end of it. We'll be available, and we'd love to see you in person and just to talk to you about the ministry, the future ministry opportunities. But we really do cover your prayers and support over these next few years.
There's a place where broken bodies find healing, and broken hearts find hope. This is the Hospital of Hope, a light in the darkness. Each year, thousands come for excellent medical care, and an even greater message of eternal life through Jesus Christ. When the Hospital of Hope opened in 2015, it was the beginning of something extraordinary. What started as a dream has become a full 66-bed medical center, caring for thousands every year. From surgery to newborn care, from emergencies to maternity services, every patient is welcomed with excellent care and the love of Christ. The real heartbeat of the hospital is the chaplain team, many of them local believers. In a land of many tribes and languages, chaplains meet people where they are, offering prayer, encouragement, and the good news of Jesus. They pray with patients, counsel families, and follow up in villages. Every day, medicine opens doors to share hope when it's needed most. Serving alongside them is a dedicated medical team, doctors, nurses, and missionaries who have answered God's call to Togo. Short-term volunteers also bring help and encouragement. The hospital's 215 staff members represent 12 different ethnic tribes and languages. Over half come from a Muslim background, a beautiful reflection of the community, working together to bring healing and hope. But the ministry doesn't stop at the hospital gates. Chaplains are active in local churches across Mangu's towns and villages, strengthening faith and encouraging new believers. They follow up with patients after treatment, sharing Christ's love long after the hospital stay ends. And each week, chaplains and missionaries visit the local prison, once a place where death was common. Today, because of a promise to treat prisoners for free, death is now rare. Hope stretches even further through Hope Radio, broadcasting the gospel in four languages to villages, homes, and hearts. For many, Hope Radio becomes a lighthouse, a light they can carry home. And at Mango Christian School, seeds of hope are planted even earlier. Students, many from Muslim homes, receive excellent education and the daily love of Christ. The hospital cares for the hurting today. Hope Radio shines into distant places, and the school is shaping the next generation. There are so many ways to be part of what God is doing here. Whether you are a nurse, a therapist, an ultrasound technician, or an anesthesiologist, there's a place for you. And even if you're not in medicine, you can come to encourage the team, help with projects, and serve where it's needed most. This is the Hospital of Hope, where bodies are healed, souls are saved, and hope endures.
Good morning, church. Good morning, chapel. I'm excited to be with you. It is a privilege, really, to serve on your behalf in Togo, West Africa. And you guys have been a long-standing investment in our family. My parents were missionaries in France, and you guys supported my parents way back in the day. So just an honor to be here. It is hard sometimes for us to leave the field to come back, but it's always refreshing to see those of you that are faithful supporters, praying for us, and just really helping us stand in the dark world, you know, and where Christ is not known, and so we count it a privilege. A lot of you have been asking how you can get one of these jackets this morning. I did not find it at Kohl's, so I don't know. You have to come to Africa to visit. My wife's dress is even more flashy, I think, but this is my wife Faith over there. And then August and Celeste are with us. Nico is down in class, which is a good thing because he'd be climbing up on that balcony up there. But you saw a little bit of the kind of the caption of our ministry. It was a lot hospital focused. And I know you loved my accent in that video, right? It was not mine. I can't do that. My brother from Jamaica, beautiful accent. But there where we serve, it is a French-speaking country. And so the Lord has really used my first language of French, and I even brought my French Bible this morning, to just work in the work of the ministry there in Togo. And so it's been 14 years of a lot of different things. As you heard the ministry this morning, we don't really know and count all that we do in a day. And I couldn't even tell you what my schedule looks like some days. But it's any which way we can to open doors for the gospel. And in a Muslim-heavy place, you really have to be creative. And the Lord has blessed us there with an amazing hospital. And we started out as church planters there and started a church early on that is still flourishing and actually starting a lot of daughter churches themselves. And so for that, we are excited. And it really led us into radio ministry and then into the Christian school, which you saw up there. Continue to pray for the Christian school. We've had many open doors there, but I know Satan is not happy. And I was just there last week, actually. Just got back on Thursday morning from Togo. And I can see how the Lord is really attacking in a lot of ways there. And so just be praying for Le Bon Berger. We got a little bookmark in the back that you can take. But as we are thinking of the future of our ministry and what God has really been doing in our hearts, I kind of go to John 4 for that, because some of the things that Jesus faced in his ministry, the people he was led to, is kind of a similar pattern in our life. If you look at John chapter 3, you know well the story of Nicodemus, right? And we didn't name our son Nicodemus for no reason. We knew what we were doing with the John 3:16, one of the most powerful verses. Car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son fils unique, afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse point, mais qu'il ait la vie éternelle. That was in French, in case you didn't know. But it really a great story, but of kind of the elite of the area, right? The ones that were really high up, powerful, well in the knowledge of the Jewish traditions and of scripture, and also wealthy people. But then you go right into chapter 4, and he's meeting with the Samaritan woman, which is probably the lowest class of them all. The Samaritan, which was a separate people group, they were despised, rejected. And then you get these verses in John chapter 4, right after the disciples come back. And Jesus said to them, "My food," in verse 34, if you're with me, "my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And then he says to the disciples, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for the harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together." And as kind of Faith and I have started our ministry with kind of Paul's ambition in Romans 15:20 of making disciples and going to places where Christ is not known, that's really how God has been impacting our life. He's led us to places where we were just seed planters. We maybe saw very little harvest. We maybe watered. But one day somebody will reap that harvest, and we are praising God for that. But as God is moving us from the city of Mongo, which is the Samaritan, you know, it's the country bumpkin. It's up on the border in the savannah, a very difficult place to live, close to the Sahara Desert. He is now leading us to the capital city of Lomé to do ministry there. Now, it's not been an easy transition for us because we love what God is doing in the north. And we think there's still a lot to be accomplished. But as we look at this passage, we know the harvest is not 4 months away. We realize, kind of like Jesus was trying to tell his disciples, "I have done the work for you. I have planted the seed. I am working a harvest that you cannot even imagine. Join me and be a part of it. Don't wait. Be one that is involved consistently and constantly in my work." And so in Lomé, it's going to be a little different. As we're looking at this transition, it's a big city. We were going from about 50,000 in our city to 2.5 million people in Lomé. And it's a massive undertaking. But what we've seen is God's faithfulness for the mission in Togo with ABWE. As they celebrated 50 years last year of ministry in Togo, we're kind of picking up on a harvest that has already been given to us with many churches and a lot of things that are already done to be able to help them to reach the nations around them. One of the big things we're seeing is in West Africa is it's one of the hardest places now to minister, because as we're seeing even in the statistics, it's one of the most dangerous places to minister in the whole world right now. Concilium even said that it's becoming the most targeted area for jihad, the jihad war. And so we're concerned about that, but we're also willing to go and to work in that harvest field there. So I would ask you to pray for us as we're ministering. We've got a prayer card in the back. What that looks like for us in Lomé is we're going to be helping the churches to think about what it looks like to go to the nations themselves. You can become kind of stagnant, right, in church, and forget about the nations that God has called us to. As we read Revelation, as we know in Matthew 28, we have a calling, we have a purpose as Christians, ones who have been given the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to go to those nations. And so we're hoping that we can really encourage the local churches to go to the nations around. Where Mali and Burkina Faso and Niger are closed to gospel workers like us, we're hoping that we can send our Togolese brothers and sisters in Christ to those areas to serve. And then Faith is going to continue her dental hygiene ministry as she's got those tools. You know the dentist, right? You know, as the tools are in the mouth, she just goes at it and shares the gospel. One of the best evangelists I know. And she just tells them about the gospel. And, you know, you got to respond well to that because you don't know what the dentist could do to your teeth. And so they're just listening. And I think she's got a captive audience most of the time. They can't talk back, too, which is kind of nice. But she loves what she's doing. I've really seen her thrive in that ministry. We're going to continue that within the local churches. And then I think, for me, I'm going to continue working a lot with the government of Togo. I have some friends that really desperately need to know Christ, and I think the impact would be great on a nation like Togo if those men and women come to know Christ. And then just helping the church be alive and thriving and go into the nations around them. So that's kind of what our ministry looks like. Now, we live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina right now. If you're stopping in, come in and see us, 317 South Broad Street. We'd love to visit with you. But we love you, Johnson Chapel. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your many years of helping us do what God has called us to do and lifting us up before Him. Please come back to our table, grab a card. We also have a sign-up sheet back there where you can sign up for our prayer letter. We love you. We love what God's doing. And we thank you for your support to us. Thank you, Pastor.
Next, we have the privilege of having Holly Friesen, who is serving in Ukraine with ABWE for about 16 years there. She serves in Odessa, has been helping with a church plant called Crossroad Baptist Church since about 2020. They've had many saved and baptized over the last 3 years as the people have been very sensitive to the Lord and the gospel in the midst of the war and all the hardship and difficulties they're facing. So about a third of the believers there in that church at this time have only been saved for the last 3 years, so they're seeing a lot of growth, a lot of opportunities for discipleship. She's very involved in the Pregnancy Care Center, medical clinics, and discipleship. And, you know, this ministry is very special to us because she's been able to step in and continue on the work that Dr. Miriam Wheeler began so many years ago. And she's been placed there in Ukraine for a very special time and has just the right gifting and experience to be of great service to the church and to the people of Ukraine at this time. And in just a few minutes, she's going to come and share with us. But before she does, we're going to show a video about her ministry. So we look forward to hearing from Holly.
Anywhere you are in the world, there is a certain level of risk, and I would rather be in a place where I know I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do and having the privilege of being a part of the amazing things God's doing in Ukraine.
I definitely feel like God has given us a time of harvest in Ukraine. I've been in Ukraine for almost 14 years now, and I've seen more people coming to faith in the church plant I'm working in 1 year's time than in the whole time I've been in Ukraine up to this point. And I am definitely grateful that God has given me the opportunity to be a part of this and that He brought me to Ukraine when He did so that I could have the language and experience and the partnerships to be able to be a part of it right now.
Anywhere you are in the world.
Thank you for the opportunity to share about what God is doing in Ukraine. It's a privilege to be here again. Johnson Chapel is special. Even though this is only my second time to be here, it's because of Dr. Miriam that I even ended up in Ukraine. And she really mentored me as a young green missionary, and I'm very grateful for her impact in my life. Greetings from my church, Crossroads Baptist Church, as well as from Lonia and Luba, who I know you also support in Krasnostoka. They continue to be people that I partner with in ministry, and I'll share with you a little bit more about that. Often people ask me what it's like to be in Ukraine right now. Our mission did have us leave initially when the war started, but I was able to go back at the beginning of 23 and have been there until May of this year, the end of May. I came back for a six-month furlough, and Lord willing, I'll be heading back to Ukraine December 9th. And so I wanted to share with you just a little bit about some of the realities. It's hard to fully explain. In many ways, life goes on. I live in Odessa in the south, which is right on the Black Sea. We're far enough from the front lines that we don't come into danger from frontline fighting, but we do get frequent missile and drone attacks, and these are the alerts that come up on our phone when we get air alerts. Sometimes it's just because there's a plane up in the air that could potentially shoot something, and sometimes there are actually things flying at our city. Just to give you an idea, the last few weeks have been especially intense. Last night there was another large attack on the energy infrastructure. It hit a number of cities across Ukraine. So that is the reality that we continue to live with, even though some days seem very normal. We are grateful for the air defense that has been provided through the help of other countries. I've seen it improve over the last couple of years that I've been in Ukraine. However, unfortunately, sometimes some of the missiles and drones do get through and hit civilian targets. This is an apartment building that was hit by a drone not far from where I live last year. And pictured there is Anya and her little baby who were killed along with a number of other people. Anya is a local pastor's daughter. She's the sister of a good friend of mine. So that one hit very close to home in many ways. Her husband had gone across the apartment to comfort their toddler, and that side of the apartment was spared. He's been an incredible testimony of God's faithfulness in spite of the grief. The other part of our reality is that most people have friends and relatives who are serving in the military, and unfortunately, many who've lost their lives or who are missing in action. Pictured here is Bogdan. Some of you who've been to Ukraine know Lonia or Luba and Sasha Abramov. Luba was the first administrator of our pregnancy care center. This is her nephew, and he had finished his undergraduate at the seminary and was very active in his church when he was mobilized into the army, and last year he was also killed in action. The picture there as well is a memorial that's in the capital city of Kyiv, where every flag stands for a fallen soldier, and that's maybe a quarter of the memorial. It goes on and on, and many, many lives that have been lost as young men and women try to defend their country. And as I was considering that, often our heart cries out, Lord, how long? I was reminded of the verses in Habakkuk, chapter 1, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. And sometimes that is the cry of our heart. In February, it'll be 4 years since the full-scale invasion, and we long for it to come to an end. But I also love verse 5. If you keep reading Habakkuk, when God answers the prophet, and he says, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. And that's also the reality of what's going on in Ukraine. We're seeing God do an amazing work in drawing hearts to himself. So I want to also tell you about that. I am a family nurse practitioner, so I've been involved in the mobile clinic ministry that Miriam started many years ago. It has changed since the start of the full-scale invasion. The Ukrainian Christian Medical Association has gotten active in also doing mobile clinics, wanting to do something to help. Before the war, there was a group in our city with the Christian Medical Association that did an outreach once, maybe twice a year. But with the full-scale invasion, many of the people that were involved in that Christian Fellowship of Doctors wanted to do more to help, and they started going out on weekends and providing care. So when I arrived back in Ukraine in 23, I joined with them, and the outreaches that they were doing are currently going out usually two weekends a month and providing care in areas to the east of Odessa, areas that were at one point occupied by the Russians or sometimes were frontline areas where a lot of battles were fought. So we do see a lot of destruction in the areas that we go to, areas that were already underserved because they're rural, but with the fighting, many of the healthcare professionals have left. So there's a huge medical need. But we're also finding that people are much more open to the gospel. I'm able to pray with almost every one of my patients, and so many of them. In the past, often when I bring up spiritual things, they would say, well, I'm Orthodox. Or some of them would say, well, you know, they taught us that God doesn't exist. But I rarely hear that now. Most of them have cried out to God when things got really hard in their town, and they've seen God protect them. Also, what we're seeing in the towns closer to the front lines, many of where there are churches, many of the believers have left to go to safer places, but those who are left have become a point for help and humanitarian aid, and many people in those villages have received a food packet or some clothing or some other things through the church. And I've also had patients tell me, I came to get a food packet, but I just love how the pastor prays and how he explains the Bible, and they continue coming to services. And we're seeing those churches filled with people who are coming to hear the gospel and who've been touched. We also have been able to make some trips to other parts of Ukraine. There are other mobile clinic ministries starting up through the Christian Medical Associations in other cities. So I've been able to join and help some of them. And also our team from Odessa has gone a couple different times to western Ukraine to provide clinics in areas where there are a lot of displaced people. And I'll just tell you one of the stories. Pictured here is a pastor who's from the city of Bakhmut, which has been basically flattened by the Russian army. He and his family had to flee and lost pretty much everything. He had been involved in church planting in Bakhmut, and he said, we were there last year at the beginning of the year, and the church where we were at, he was there to be one of the evangelists and talk to people, but he had a burden to start a church in the part of the city where he was living. It was not right in the area where we were doing the clinic. So as he talked to people, he invited people to come to a Bible study, and he gathered contacts of all the people that lived on his side of the city and followed up with them after clinic and started a Bible study with them. And we were back just this spring, and they started renting a small building. They have a small fellowship that is now meeting largely due to contacts that he made through the medical ministry that came the year prior. And it was a joy to come back with the medical team again and have a clinic in his small church. They've had a few baptisms already, and most of the people who are coming have also been displaced by the war. It's encouraging to see someone who has suffered himself so much, but continues to have a burden for the lost. He said, once church planting is in your veins, you just can't stop. And it's a joy to come alongside and partner through medical ministry with people like that. Also, continue to be involved in pro-life ministry. We have a pregnancy care center that we started in Odessa in 2014. We continue to minister to women facing crisis pregnancies, some single, some displaced by the war, or those that are families without work. Part of our challenge the last couple of years has been training more volunteers. When the war started, probably about half of our volunteers left the country. So we've had a couple of volunteer trainings over the last couple of years. We also have a new director and assistant director that were appointed in 22, so mentoring and helping them grow in their role, but it's been a joy to see them grow, and they've done a great job while I've been in the States. We provide, we aren't a medical center, but we do provide counseling. Each client is assigned a counselor that works with her one-on-one, and we also have group classes for childbirth preparation and a once-a-month mom's club. Just to give you one quick story, last year we had a young lady come to us who was only 16 years old. Her parents were divorced, and both of them lived in different cities. She was living in Odessa with friends, and everyone was pressuring her to have an abortion. But she, for whatever reason, didn't want to have one. And it was actually her doctor who, when she realized she was going to go through with this pregnancy, recommended that she come to our center. And so we were able to help her through the pregnancy and after delivery. The exciting thing is her counselor, we usually start with a parenting course initially and try to build a relationship. And then if they're open and interested, then we offer them a Bible study called The Story of Hope when they finish up the parenting course. And she, this summer, finished up the parenting course, and when her counselor offered her the story of hope, she agreed to do it, but asked if her boyfriend could come too. So now she and her boyfriend both are studying the Bible with their counselor, and we're praying for their salvation. One of the things that the war has done is given us more credibility in the community. Because so many people have been displaced by the war and ended up in our city, there's not enough resources to help them all, and so we've been able to get our information into some of the government offices, the Red Cross office, as another nonprofit that's offering help to women. There's also a population crisis in Ukraine. They had a declining population before the war, and now it has become more critical. They have one of the highest death rates and one of the lowest birth rates in the world. In order for a population to replace itself, you need to have at least a 2.1% birth rate, and Ukraine currently has a 0.7% birth rate. And so it's become a problem that's been talked about by journalists and now some politicians, which has also given more credibility to our ministry and what we're doing to try to prevent abortions. And we've had some opportunities to participate in a meeting of all the OBGYNs in our region, where we shared about what we do to help women with crisis pregnancies, which is how that doctor knew about us to recommend our center to her patient. And we also have a local politician who's working on getting a counseling room opened up in the regional OBGYN clinic connected to the regional hospital, where women could get counseling and help that are considering abortions. He has permission from the city government, and they've actually started remodeling a room. They're still working through the logistics of how they're going to let us work there. If he could pray about that, I know it's not going to be without opposition, but it would be an incredible thing if we could have a presence right in the clinic where women are making decisions about their pregnancies. We do continue to do post-abortion healing Bible studies. Pictured here are a couple of our leaders helping women who have abortions in their past find healing and understand God's forgiveness. And we also have a team for teaching young people. The team that we had before the war started all left the country, but God has raised up some more ladies who are interested in helping us teach young people, and we were able to do some training last year and begin teaching. So you can pray for God to continue to develop that ministry. So far we've been teaching in church-based groups, but we'd love to be able to get into the public schools or the junior colleges, and so you can pray that God will open the right doors for us to be able to do that. And I'm also involved in Crossroads Baptist Church. As Pastor said, I started working with them in 2020. It's a fairly new church plant. They started working in that area about 10 years ago. But when the war started, probably about half of their members left the country, but those who were left began gathering for prayer every day. And then they had neighbors and friends who wanted to come as well. And out of that grew a prayer service that they would hold 6 mornings a week, and often do a hot meal afterwards. Sometimes they had aid that would come in that they'd be able to hand out. And God used that outreach to bring many people from the community and from even outside of the immediate community that they were trying to target to our church. And out of that, they were able to plant a second church. By the end of 2022, we had a daughter church on the other side of our part of town where a lot of new apartment buildings are going up. So I've been able to be involved with this as one of the members of the leadership team for both churches. We have 2 pastors, a deacon, a youth leader, and then myself and another lady who help coordinate ministry in both places. And it's been a joy to work with them and to see their heart for continuing to evangelize and heart to plant eventually another church. I've been mostly involved with ladies' ministry. We have a ladies' Bible study 2 nights a month that I've been able to help lead and encourage some of the other ladies to get involved. We initially did it in just 1 location, but now we're doing it in both locations. And as Pastor said, many people have come to faith over the last 3.5+ years. Our church has baptized over 35 people since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, most of them being adults, a lot of them older adults, and it's a huge deal for them to take the step of baptism because it's an official public break from the Orthodox Church. So we're excited to see what God is doing, but that also has the challenge. Some of our believers just grab onto God's word and grow like crazy, and some of them have lots of ups and downs. When over half of your membership are brand new believers, there's a huge need for discipleship. And so that's one of the exciting things that I got to be a part of during this last term. When I got back, I started working with our 2 pastors' wives, a deacon's wife, and another lady who'd been in the church for a while, working through a book on small group discipleship. And then the beginning of 24, we split up and each of them began leading a small group of their own. And so it's been a joy to continue to encourage them and to see them begin investing in others who we hope will be able to eventually invest in others as well. I have a group of what I call my grandmas. They're all in their 70s, but have all been saved within the last 3 years. And it's been a joy to work with them. I could tell you lots of stories, but I want to tell you just about Svetlana. She actually came to our church because of the evangelistic, the humanitarian aid outreach. Someone had told her she could get a food packet if she came to the service that we have during the week. And so she said she came initially very skeptical. She was a teacher, had been a member of the Communist Party, was basically agnostic, and decided if she felt at all uncomfortable in this church, she was never going to come back. But she said the singing she loved, and the message just really spoke to her heart. She said it made sense, and she kept coming back, not just to the evangelistic services, but to our Sunday services. And over the course of several months, she came to understand and went forward at the end of a service to pray and accept Christ. She was baptized last year, and she's in my discipleship group. And I've been teaching them about having a daily Bible reading time, and gave them all a notebook where they could write down a verse or question or a thought that they had from their Bible reading that we could share when we came together. And she would come with just pages and pages filled out in her notebook, and so excited that she was understanding things from God's Word. She said a few times before she was saved, she picked up a Bible to try to read it, and it made absolutely no sense. And she was so excited that now the Bible was making sense to her. So it's been a joy to be able to work with her and the other ladies. Our church does continue to do evangelistic outreaches one morning a week in each of our locations. Often we are able to hand out bread at the end, or sometimes we have food packets. They have a time of prayer for Ukraine, singing an evangelistic message, and then invite people to come to our other outreaches. We have Bible studies at each location one evening a week, and of course our Sunday services, and a joy to see people that maybe first come hoping to get something at the evangelistic outreach, but then are curious and come to learn more at our other outreaches. We have a growing children's ministry. I'm not involved in the children's ministry, but have Sunday school and a kids club. Youth group recently had a couple of our teenagers that come from really rough homes that prayed to accept Christ, and we're praying for God's continued working in their lives. I'll tell you a quick story about this couple who are very special to me because their daughter was actually my client at our women's center a number of years ago. She got saved while she was pregnant, was later baptized, and I was able to be involved because she was a client at our center in her discipleship, going through some discipleship material with her, and we were always praying for her parents' salvation. After the war started, my client, who had since gotten saved, gotten married, had a couple more kids, had left the country with her husband, but I ran into her mom on the street and invited her to church. And she, because of the situation, was open to coming where she hadn't been before, began coming to church, eventually prayed to accept Christ as her Savior, was baptized shortly after I got back to Ukraine in 23. And as I hugged her that day and told her I was so excited that I'd been praying for her for years, and she said, well, keep praying for my husband because it's going to take a miracle for him to be saved. He was an alcoholic, but he was there the day of her baptism, and he continued coming fairly frequently to church. And about 6 months after she was baptized, he also prayed to accept Christ as his Savior and was baptized last year. And it's just been a joy to see them grow. She will tell you herself that she's been known in their community as kind of a loud mouth, telling everybody what she thought about everything. She said, now God uses my loud mouth for him. And she will tell everyone when she's in the market or on the public transportation about what God has done for her and invite them to come to church. So it's been there are many more stories like that that I could tell you about how God is at work. So I'd ask you to just continue praying for Ukraine. Pray for an end to the war. That is what we desire. But I'd also encourage you to also pray especially for the church as they minister in difficult circumstances, but also at a time when God is bringing a harvest, that God would give strength and wisdom and would continue to grow the church in steadfastness. I've been thinking a lot more about suffering over the last few years and how God uses it in our lives, and how often our prayer is just that God would take it away. We want it to stop. But God uses the hard times in our life for our good and his glory. And I'm reminded of the verses in James, to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So I'd ask you to pray that for the church in Ukraine as well, that they would be steadfast, that they would allow God to do the work in them that he desires to do, and to continue to grow his church. And as a challenge to you as well, if you feel like God's calling you to do something that seems a bit scary, I didn't know when I was going to Ukraine that I was going to end up in a country at war. But God has been faithful, and he will be faithful. And don't allow the potential for suffering or hardship to scare you away, because God can do amazing things in the midst of the hard, and it's definitely worth it. Thank you.
Oh, it's been a special morning together, hearing from both of these families and their ministries. What a wonderful thing. Do be praying for the war in Ukraine to end. Pray that the Lord would work in the hearts of leadership for Russia, especially, and for Ukraine, that they could come to that war could come to an end swiftly. Please pray for that. And do be praying for Holly's Church, or Crossroads, and many other churches who are reaching out and serving people, meeting their physical needs, their spiritual needs. And do pray for the church there in Ukraine as they continue to deal with suffering. Pray that the Lord would use that in their lives to make them more like Christ and to bring them into the people that He would want them to be. And continue to pray for the Drakes and their ministry there. Pray for them as they're having to raise more support to go to Lome. The cost of living there is much more expensive, so be praying for them as they seek to raise more finances to go back there. Also, be praying for all those ministry connections as they head back. Be praying for Faith as she finishes up her dental hygiene school, for Adam as he finishes up school, as Celeste will be going into her senior year. Be praying for both of these families and how God is using them. We're so thankful for each of them and how the Lord's using them and working in their hearts. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and the praise band can come and lead us in a time of worship. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you for the Drakes. Lord, we thank you for Adam and for Faith, for their family, for their children. We thank you for how you've used them, for how the gospel has gone forth and the different ministry avenues that you have given to them, for they've been able to disciple others and then see the church strengthened and grow to go in to reach out into their community. Lord, thank you for Holly. We thank you for just allowing to her to be steadfast and immovable and always just looking to you for the strength and the encouragement that she needs. Lord, pray that you'll continue to strengthen her and her church and her teammates there as they serve in Ukraine and they experience difficulty and hardship. Lord, we pray for the Ukrainian people. Lord, I know my heart is just overwhelmed to see all those flags and all those who have lost loved ones defending their country and fighting for their freedom. Lord, we pray that you would just be with that war, that you would bring it to a swift end. Lord, we pray that you would work in the hearts of leaders on both sides and that could happen soon. And Lord, we pray for the church that they would continue to be strengthened and to share the gospel. We pray that as many come to faith, Lord, that they would grow and they would go and reach out to their families and communities, and that we just continue to see this great revival happening there in Ukraine. Lord, thank you for the power of gospel, how it saves us, how it opens our eyes to the sinful people we are and our need for you. And Lord, we thank you for the gospel in our own lives. May it be a reminder to us of what we need to do. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. As we get ready to be led in worship by the praise band, if the Lord's speaking to your heart this morning and you feel led to come speak to one of the pastors, to just kneel down and pray for one of these countries, I encourage you to do so. If you're a young person here and maybe the Lord's speaking to you about missions, I encourage you, come speak to someone. If the Lord's encouraging you to consider going to one of these places in a short-term type of way, again, I encourage you to come and seek out one of the pastors and to talk with us. If the Lord's encouraging you to be some more supportive of Holly and the Drakes and to get to know them better and interact with them more, to be a support to them just in terms of friendship and being there, or even financial, I encourage you to make those connections this morning. We are not to just sit by and watch others do the Great Commission. We are to be involved in it some way, somehow in our lives. So I encourage you to consider how the Lord is working in your heart this morning. Let's go ahead and stand as we worship.